Sometimes you think you might love something too much.
But you realize if it's truly love, it's always exactly the right amount.
This is the Wayward Podcast.
Hello, Brianna Buckmaster.
Hello, Kim Rhodes.
Hello, people.
Yeah.
Yay! That was so good! Yay!
We are in lovely Chicago, Illinois. Well, not technically Chicago, I guess.
I mean, it's Chicago adjacent.
That's Chicago-ish. We are in a convention center, I think. Or is this a hotel?
It's Rosemont.
Convention center. See how I don't even know? Like, I just get dropped off.
Yeah, we just go where they tell us to go.
Yeah, we're in the back. So Kim and I are going... What was that face? What the hell? What did I do to deserve that?
No, Kim,
Kim went really wide-eyed, like I just royally said the wrong thing. Are you not, in fact, Kim Rhodes? Is that where I fucked up?
I'm sorry. As Rich Spade Jr. pointed out earlier today, I do not have a good poker face. And now that I spend all my time around chickens and pigs, I really don't have a good poker face. And that was me remembering I forgot mints.
You forgot your snacks.
I forgot my mints.
That was your I forgot something face? Wow. That was intense. It really was.
You should see my orgasm face.
Oh, Jesus. Well, since we're on the topic, Kim.
Give me 5
seconds.
Mints. All right. Okay. Anywho,
yes.
We are in Chicago.
Yes, we're in Chicago. Kim and I are in front of a lovely audience here at the Supernatural Convention. Yeah. Yes. Applaud for your damn selves. We're so happy to see you. We love this group. I think there's some newbies and old friends here, which is great. And before we started recording, we did ask them some questions.
Yeah.
And we got some answers.
From us. No, they asked us questions.
What did I say?
That we asked them some questions. We didn't ask them shit.
I didn't ask them shit.
We told them to shut up.
That's true. You'd think we were drinking, but
it's going very well.
We're very sober today.
No. What?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Liz. Oh, my God.
Liz, everyone.
For those of you listening along at home,
Liz is the best.
Who makes all magic happen, just brought out.
Is this, if I had a mint and then drank this pop, would it be like the Mentos and the pop thing? Should we try it?
Would it blow up? Are you going to blow up? Are you going to explode?
We'll find out. Let's find out. Hold on. Oh.
I dropped a fish.
If I just had dental surgery. That sound to me is just my tooth falling apart. Okay, here we go.
Winter mint and Diet Coke.
It's fuzzy. It doesn't explode. It just immediately, you know, when you pour Diet Coke into a glass and it gets all fizzy, it just does that in your mouth.
That's what she said.
Well, hopefully not.
It just got fuzzy and fizzy
just
in
got
my
fizzy
mouth.
Fizzy in my mouth. The wrong end. Okay. back to our topic. My daughter's listening to this, y'all.
She's not. She's got her headphones on
right
now.
That's true.
She's like, I don't have to put
Fuck
up with those
these broads.
Ladies. Yeah.
What was I saying?
You were going to tell them what the topic of our podcast is.
I don't remember what it is, though.
Can you love something too much?
The topic of our podcast episode today... This is where Kim will do a brilliant cut.
Maybe.
I can't suck on this.
That's what she said.
Actually, probably. Especially if she was sucking on the wrong end. Okay. I'm worried I'm going to like crack my injured tooth. Is the topic of the podcast episode tonight is can you love something too much? When Kim and I were asked this question, we both very quickly answered differently.
Mm-hmm.
So my answer was yes.
Mm-hmm.
Here is why my answer was yes. And it could be because what happens inevitably is Kim and I will just interpret the question differently in our heads.
I'm sure that's what's happened, yes.
Loving something too much to me alludes to one who loses themselves in the care and adoration of another or a thing, and it becomes an obsession. I speak from experience, and I speak from what I've seen. I speak of relationships, and I also speak of the relationship to a career. So for me, for instance, I love entertaining. I now realize I love acting, I love singing, but what I really love is entertaining. Like, I love this as much as I love acting, because I just love entertaining people. But when I love something so much, such as entertaining, performing, it starts to hinder on my other relationships or other parts of my life. It becomes detrimental and harmful. And it keeps me from having the capacity to love other things that are maybe just as good for me. And I don't actually, I have my blinders on sometimes to what those things are doing for me, such as family, parenting, friends, health, you know. So I tend to fall pretty hard for things and people, and I lose sight of what those things or people are offering me and become so intoxicated by just how I feel about them or it. I'm being general on purpose, but that's kind of why I said it is possible to love something too much.
And I would argue, so this is one of the lessons that I've learned in my life, is how much my fear puts on a mask and tells me it's love. If I am losing myself, I have injected fear into love. If I think I need to, like I was talking with somebody earlier today about staying together for the children. I said, so that's love, right? That's loving love, love, love. But that's also showing that love means not getting your needs met. Love means, I guess I'm going to be in pain. For me, one of the places I had to get to in my life was love never means anything less than perfection. If I'm having an experience that is less, if I'm losing myself, if I'm frightened, I might miss it. If I'm loving too much, quote unquote, then I have replaced somewhere in the mix love with fear, which is very human. Like, I'm very patient. I'm not saying that that's possible to do. Like, I don't think I'm capable of unconditional love. I am a human being. But it's better for me when I recognize, like, oh my God, I'm terrified it's going to go away. That's not love, that's fear. I love it. Now I'm scared it's going to be gone. Like, I had a long talk with my higher power about a year and a half ago, and I was like, all right, I'm done learning from the stick. No more stick. No more stick. I want the carrot. I want to learn from the carrot. And I have a higher power that speaks very loudly and clearly to me. My higher power went, okay, I think you're right. It's time for the carrot. I was like, what? And I responded to it the way people that are like, oh gosh, I wish I had to figure out how to spend $1 million in a day. And I very quickly learned that no, there's a whole bunch of lessons in the carrot. Because the first one was, I was like, there's only one carrot and I got it. I'm gonna lose it. It's like, you can't be grateful for it when you're terrified of losing it. You can't appreciate that. That's not love. I got the carrot, I got my prize, I got my love. Well, way to turn it into fear, Kim. Way to go. There's only one carrot. Only one. If I lose this one, no more carrots.
No, abundance is a part of love. There is no limit to love. But so what I now do is I have to recognize all of the things that I have been trained, either by this world or my own fear. Masquerade is love, but are actually fucking fear. Like, I'm going to take care of you so much because I love you so much. That's not love. That's fear. That's, I fear that I won't be okay without you. I fear that you don't have the capacity to be okay. I fear that my judgment of you is correct. And you're like, that's all. So instead going, what would love look like in this moment? You know, because you and I talked about this. This is my lesson right now. I have people around me that I love that are frightened. And my instinct is to be like, I have to stop loving you. Because fear is so overwhelming to me. But it's not love. If I just stop, like I had a long email yesterday that I was so fucking, I was like about to vomit. It was so scary. And instead I stopped and I just was like, what are only loving, truthful words? Don't fix the problem. Don't identify the problem. The fear is going, it's scary, it's a problem, it's wrong, it's broken, this is wrong, you're wrong, you're in danger, this isn't going to be okay. It's like, all right, I hear you. How do I only, and I erased 6 different emails because I could feel it in my body. I was like, nope, that's, no, no. And so when I finally got one that was like, this is all honest, because to me, lying is fear. It is not loving to lie. It is fear that the truth.
Right. I suppose lying is like making assumptions about what the person you love will do.
Yes.
Right?
And about who I need that person to think I am. Right. So I was truthful. I was validating. I hear your point. Like, I didn't ignore the... And I said, here is my loving truth. And at the end of it, I was able to write this thing that was like, oh, my God, I care for you so much. And I sent it. And the response was, I fucking love you. Okay, let's keep moving forward. But that took, like, it felt like fucking neurosurgery. Because
of all the, like...
Because all of the fear that's entwined with the love.
Right.
So that is my, can I love something too much? No. But I absolutely can inject fear into something I love.
Which is kind of what I was speaking
That's
about.
Why when you said, I think that we're going to have 2 different versions of this question.
Yeah.
That's why we had 2 different answers.
Yeah, we really have the same answer. Is that my, this is the difference, is that, very teeny difference, is that Kim goes, huh, okay, what does this actually mean? What can I do to make this better, to make me feel better, to therefore be able to love better? Where I go, I have a tendency, admittedly, to set pretty strong boundaries in relationship because I think because I have had an experience, I've had experience in friendship and relationship in the past of people kind of like getting very possessive of me. And when that happens, it's not the possessiveness that bothers me. It's that with possessiveness also comes disappointment and occasional anger. And
expectations assigned to you,
yeah.
obligations,
yes, and the kind of gaslighting that comes with how could you or stuff like that. So I think having a lot of those relationships in my past means that a lot of relationship now to me looks like this is where I can go. This is as far as I'm going to go. This is what I got for you.
But I argue that is very loving. Because one of
yes.
the things I will tell people, and I'll tell them in this environment or with intimate friendships, is I love you too much to let you hurt me. Now, this is I very clearly want to separate this from victim blaming.
Yes.
I am not in
yes.
charge of your actions. I am in charge of how I interpret your actions, however. And if I don't set a boundary, then you can just come in and piss in my house, and I'll be like, man, now I'm mad and resentful at this person, instead of just being like, please use the bathroom. That's a bound. Please use the bathroom. I don't like pee on my floors. So that is so what I do is I'm like, I'm setting a boundary for us both. Because if you love me, as I am welcome to assume you do, it's my job to teach you how to love me best. And
yes,
if
right.
like joking around and teasing me about the clothes I'm wearing, to you is a jocular invitation for us both to share a laugh. And to me, it hurts my feelings because it's a coping mechanism that I have chosen. It's a loving thing for me to say, that hurts my feelings. It's not, I'm getting you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is I'm going down a slight variation, but just loving too much, loving self.
Yes.
I had a conversation recently with some people around about, they had this, oh, I can't say that anymore because I'll get in trouble.
Right.
And I was like, okay, here's the difference. Here's the difference between fear and love, right? I say something, I get in trouble. That is a fear-based response. I'm in trouble. I am defined as wrong and bad. I'm headed to the principal's office to have somebody say, you're a bad kid. Versus, I am now aware that the consequences of my actions include someone else being hurt. Oh, it is a loving action for me to not hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I hurt people, I feel sad because I'm not connected to them anymore.
We have this conversation with Valentina, actually. This is an adjacent conversation about swearing. Is that she sometimes will go, I don't like it when you swear in front of me. And I said, well, thank you for telling me that. And I said, swear words are not bad words. We don't apply morality to words. They are adult words that you can use when you understand the repercussions of using them.
The consequences.
Consequences and the responsibility, right? And so you can use them, but you have to know that some people are very offended by swear words, and they might let you know, and that in turn might upset you, and you have to be prepared for that. And so that in itself, just with words, is a boundary. Now, it's the same thing with love, as if you go, okay, I'm going to have this relationship with this person and I'm going to let them do this to me, but then there's going to be consequences, which is one of you is going to be uncomfortable and the relationship's going to be shit. So is that love? You know what I mean?
Well, and it is.
Yeah.
But it isn't. Like, the other thing I've learned is that love and fear are different. They aren't one or the other. Like, if my father loved me enough, he would have quit drinking. No. Drinking was the product of a disease and fear. He loved me more than anything. Two fucking different things. So loving enough is not the same as less fear. The answer to less fear is not more love. The answer to less fear is look at the fucking fear. Deal with the fear, because when the fear is dealt with, then the love can be present. And so, like, in terms of loving something too much, if I start inflicting harm on myself in the name of love, I have now given myself permission to be afraid. Like, love means I'm okay.
So let me ask you this. Have
yeah.
you been in the past in a situation, I know the answer to this, where you have loved too much in any way that makes sense to you in the past? And if you have, what did you do, or what would you do now to get out of that?
So you mean in terms of I find myself allowing damage
yeah.
in the name of something I want.
Yes, yes.
Well,
yes,
this
yes.
is where I have so many fun little labels that I've attached to different parts of my experience, but I am a sober alcoholic, and that is called a resentment. So we have a prescription for when I start feeling resentful, because my resentments come up more at people I love than people I don't like. When I first got sober, I was resentful about all this shit that made me mad. And now I get resentments around people I love who don't do what I think they should. And that to me is loving too, but it's very, like, it's quick. I recognize it right away, because instead of that feeling, that warm, cold feeling that you talk about, they start feeling prickle hot. Not comfortably warm, they feel prickle hot.
When it's not something you want.
Yeah, when it's loving too much, to use that phrase. So what I do is I go, all right, what needs of mine am I allowing to not be met? What needs of mine are not being met is the first step. Like, what is happening? What is, like, validate the fact that I have needs that aren't being met. This isn't my fault. This isn't my
blame. I'm suddenly in this relationship and not comfortable.
My needs are not being, I am loving too much, which means on some level, I am experiencing a discomfort from an unmet need. So what is that need? And validating the fact that it deserves to be met. Now,
that is so hard.
That's what I'm saying.
That is the, like, hardest part
about
going, I'm actually worth happiness and respect, and
because that's love. Because that's the fucking
we've lost her.
Fuck.
We've lost her.
No, it needed all those fucks. Fucking phrase. No one can love you until you love yourself. Fuck.
It's true, isn't it?
Yes. Because that's where it's like, I can't allow love in unless I have calibrated my heart for love, for my needs being met, for me being happy, for me not settling, for joy to be my baseline. And that to me is what love is. And when we say, can you love too much? I feel like in actuality, I'm not experiencing enough love when that's happening. I'm trying to, like, substitute other shit. And so starting by going, I don't feel great. What need is not being met? Little honey, tiny Kim, it deserves to be met. And that's loving myself.
That's actually a great example. I think that's a very helpful tool that I started doing because I go to therapy. Thank you. Is that therapy is like the new thing. Instead of going, I go to the gym, you go, I go to therapy. is that when you have conversations with your younger self in your brain, it changes everything. It's so much trickier for us to be kind to our current selves than it is to be kind to our younger selves. Isn't that funny? It's because our younger selves are so vulnerable. But yet everything we learn and hardwire in ourselves, we learn when we're younger. So that's actually a very helpful tool, is when you're struggling to go to love yourself or demand the things that you think you're worthy of, is to go, what is younger me worthy of? Because you're the same fucking people.
Yeah.
You know?
I've actually in cameos, I mean, at this point, my cameos, I'm just channeling. That's all I'm doing.
I know.
I'm full on. I am full fucking channeling.
It's like you're channeling your cameos and you're TED talking at the convention.
Yes, TED talking at convention. I don't even know who I am. But I will say, okay, put your hands actually on your heart. And like in my being, I'm like, I'm not going to keep talking until I think the person on the other side of this cameo has put their hands on their heart. Like, this is me. This is programming. This is mortal. This is gonna die. For the podcast viewers, I'm pointing at my head. This is me. I was pointing at my heart. My heart is me. My brain is the mortal part of my experience, having an animal, believing in time, there is mortality.
And it's also, it's hard, it's wired based on trauma. It's
yeah,
based
it's
on,
fear. It's fear
It's
based.
All fear. It's just there to protect you.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Like, you know that old quote, fear says I will make you safe and love says there is nothing to fear?
Oh, I've never heard that.
You haven't? I fucking
That's
love
good.
That quote.
Say it again.
Fear says I will make you safe. Love says there is nothing to fear.
Cute. That's cute.
So that's why, all right, so back to what would I do if I felt I was loving too much? I would identify the, and then I would identify what we call is the character defects. And the way I work, because everybody works the way I work these things, is my options are selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, fear. Whoop, I'm missing one. Selfish, self-seeking, dishonesty, and fear. No, those are my only options. And then I address it and I ask for help, spiritual help, higher power help, interpersonal help. Like, if I'm loving too much, chances are I have narrowed down my options to one, and it's me. I am the only person who can handle this situation. I am the only person who can survive this. I am, for some reason, the only person that can navigate this love. And as soon as I recognize that my needs aren't being met and I am somehow involved in one of my character defects, I ask for help.
Actual help.
Actual spiritual, I mean... From
spiritual help
everybody.
And
from
physical
friends
help.
And from the higher power and from goats and from me.
Thank God for those goats.
I ask me for help. Like, so it is, because it is terrifying to think I need something that makes me sad, because if I lose it, I will die. Like, that's to me is the quintessential of loving too much. I need this thing that hurts me, because if I don't have it, I will not be.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, yes, to take it to the full extent. I think, let's think for me about what I would do now if I was, I have tools and skills through years of work, of knowing why I do what I do and what is good for me and what's not good for me, only in the last few years. But
I've seen,
yeah.
I've watched and been a part of this.
Yes.
And it makes me so delighted and proud.
Well, you're a big part
of
it.
To watch you love
yes.
you.
Yes. And these conversations in the podcast, I was just sitting here just now going, I couldn't fucking have this conversation with anybody else. Any of these conversations, really. But that is exactly to my point. I am lucky and grateful, and also I will take, you know, some credit that I have surrounded myself with people, my spouse, and the women who I am in deep relationship with. And by deep relationship, I don't mean the kind of love that we were just talking about. I have had those friendships where it's like, oh, this is my best friend in the world. And they were not healthy and they were borderline toxic. But these friendships, I could not talk to them for weeks, months, maybe even, and still know that they're ride or dies. You know, for years I've been friends with them. But I know that I can go up to them and go, do you think what I am doing right now is good for my authentic self? And I know that all of them would go, actually, I'm glad you asked. I don't. And I know that would all do it lovingly, and I trust them all enough to go to give me those answers. And I feel so lucky for those friendships. And I just think that the hard thing about loving somebody is, as you know, to really wind this up, is to be like, you cannot be in a true loving, effective, and by effective I mean to create the best version of you on this planet for your lifetime, without having relationship. friendships, relationships. I mean, all relationship, because we are communal beings. We are on this planet to love. And so even when I talk about how I love with boundaries, I always check in going, am I boundaried right now out of fear or out of love? Because I think there's two different ways to do that. But when you love truly without fear, it is the safest container ever made on this planet. And it makes you truly a better person.
Yeah. I think that a fearless love is the only kind of love. So I don't think you can love something too much.
That's true. You've proven me wrong.
Oh.
Kimberly Rose.
Oh, my God. It's because I'm a scientist.
We are scientists.
So who gave us that question?
Oh, Jen.
So God thank bless. You, well Jen. Done. Thank you for that question. And I love you. Oh. Brianna Buckmaster.
I love you, Kim Rhodes. The most.